I'm Graham Sibley.
I'm Jan Bilton.
I'm Terry DeFellin.
And this is The Sound of Football.
The Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Terry Defender and Jan Bilton. Hello, chaps.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, we weren't here last week. That's because Terry had a touch of the vapors, and he wasn't very well. So anyway, but we had a week off, and now we're fully refreshed. You know, we're actually ready now for the running, aren't we?
We sure are.
Yeah, because all the competitions, well, in this country anyway, are coming to a climax now, aren't they? And it's all very, very, very exciting, isn't it? I mean, like, you know, all the press has got its narrative in order, isn't it? With everything, all the stories are about to be told, and, you know, the twists and turns are coming ahead, aren't they? Or not.
Mm.
I mean, like, Premier League's all done, isn't it?
Yeah. Top four looks, like, pretty safe, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They look pretty safe, don't they?
Yeah.
What on earth is there left to talk about, then? Because that's all we want to talk about, isn't it? The top of the Premier League,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, we're only interested in the top of the Premier League.
Yeah. Is Germany looking any more exciting?
No.
Because surely there's a tussle there.
No.
No?
No, not at all.
How many points clear?
12 points clear, I think, the gap is now.
So. Lord Bentner hasn't been doing his work, then.
Alas, Lord Bentner has not been doing his thing, and Bas Dost has been injured, so they drew 1-1 at the against Schalke at the weekend in Wolfsburg, and Bayern just continued to march on. Quite literally.
So where are we going to get our entertainment then from in the running then? I mean, like, we don't even have a Stevie G Cup final to look forward to.
Oh man,
no.
Poor Ben.
God, thank goodness for that.
He went out on a massive bender, apparently.
Did he?
Yeah, there was just some drunken picture of him on the front of one of the tabloids.
Did he beat anyone up?
Probably.
Yeah.
No. You know what he's like when he's had a drink.
He couldn't wait till his birthday, could he?
Yeah.
Oh.
He couldn't.
Well, he's probably having a big blowout because really from now to the end of the season is just sort of like conditioning for when he hooks up with LA Galaxy, because he'll probably have a short break and then he's got to go into the MLS season, which doesn't finish until November time-ish. That's the thoroughly professional response to getting knocked out of the cup. Mind you, I don't know, if it's your last hurrah and he probably had a really good feeling that he would probably make it at least to the cup final, then it's got to be tough on the guy.
Yeah, at least he wasn't inhaling laughing gas out of balloons.
Oh, hippie crack. Crack. Oh, dear. It's a scourge
Which is a
of
big
the generation.
Thing. It's a big thing, isn't it? I never heard the term until last week.
I know. Well, I mean, like, come on, you go to a lot more kids' parties than we do.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so and, like, there's obviously a lot of balloons around there.
Well, there's also a lot of drugs there as well, because the kids love their drugs.
Oh, they love the cowpole, don't they? Can't get enough of it, can they?
I've never had that pushed on me before.
No. Never had any pushy parents saying, "Look, oh yeah, we've got the balloons out the back."
You know, if you're on something. And that's what they mean now.
Yeah,
we've got the balloons out the back.
Yeah.
That means, would you like some drugs?
Exactly. It all goes on, doesn't it, at these kids' parties, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's no wonder you start like hiring clams and things like that, isn't it? Really, I mean, like,
you're off your head.
You're not making a sensible decision, are you? Oh man, I tell you what, clams.
It does make an awful lot of sense now.
What other logical reason is there?
For clowns?
Yeah.
Now that we're aware of hippie crack.
Hippie crack. It's a scourge, isn't it?
Mm. So, yeah, well, that's one thing about the running, isn't it? We got drugs, isn't it? That's what we're talking about. Not performance-enhancing ones, obviously, because we never, ever talk about those.
Nobody talks about performance-enhancing drugs in football because they don't happen.
No, never,
that
ever.
That has been established.
Especially not over here. It's something dirty foreigners do.
Yeah, no, it happened perhaps in Germany in the 1980s, but it doesn't happen here. Yeah, and it doesn't happen now.
Has Nigel Farage just walked into the room?
That's
talking about foreigners.
Actually, I don't know. Are we actually on Perda?
We're in Perda. Yes.
Are we?
So we need to. We need to be. Yeah. No political opinions, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Afraid not. Sorry, Jan.
I'm a balanced opinion, like on the BBC.
Well, you could do, but are you capable of doing a balanced opinion?
No.
No. You're just going to start like ranting off with your Toryism all the time.
Yeah, with your outrageous right wing views.
Actually, no, then there he is. There we have got balanced opinion.
Actually, most of our listeners are Americans, and so they're not voting.
True.
We probably have to go back into Perda for the presidential.
All we'll have to do is we'll have to like work out and say to our British listeners to put their fingers in their ears, or okay. Take their earbuds out for a few seconds while we talk a little bit of politics,
while we say how much we hate Nigel Farage.
Yeah. There you go again. Oh.
Sorry. Theoretically, how is
it? If I was going to hit someone, yeah, it would be him, theoretically.
Yeah. But in balance,
that all started with hippie crack. How did we get into right-wing politics?
Well, I wonder how. Yeah.
You start off with hippie crack, you end up in right-wing
drug. Yeah, it is.
You start voting UKIP. There you go.
So imagine, listeners, there's a picture of Raheem Sterling, then the next picture is a balloon, and the one after that is of Nigel Farage.
Yes. This is your Liverpool player. This is your Liverpool player on hippie crack.
Yeah. And he's a leader of minor political party.
Yes, yes. And there you go. And all the time we maintain balance. I think that was great. So anyway, we're going to have to find some stories about Squeaky Bum, because obviously someone's got to have a Squeaky Bum somewhere. Who's going down this year? Who wouldn't you be surprised?
My bum is in my personal bum. Being a Sunderland supporter, my own personal bum is a bit squeaky. Massively squeaky.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Rightly so.
Yeah, because we have a horrible run-in. We're playing... We've got Stoke away in the next game, which is just a horrible place. I don't mean Stoke's a horrible place to go. I just mean it's a horrible place to go if you want to try and get a win. No matter who you are.
It's all right.
That works too.
Yeah, all right. Stoke's a horrible place to go.
You don't have to maintain balance when it comes to talking about Stoke. It's only about politics, okay?
Right, okay, so it's a horrible place to go, and it's a horrible place to go. So we've got those guys. We've got a few other difficult fixtures, one of which is the now resurgent Leicester City.
Yeah.
And although that's at home, that means no difference. Makes no difference as Crystal Palace and Aston Villa will attest when they put four past us. And then our last two games are Arsenal away and then Chelsea away.
Ouch. The last game. So you need to have got things settled by those last two games, really, don't you?
Chelsea will have nothing to play for. Is that away to Chelsea?
Yeah, it's the last game.
Oh, right. So they'll have the big party as well. So they won't give a monkeys.
Well, I hope not.
No. They won't want to lose though. But they'll all be dead relaxed though.
They will all be
very,
dead
very relaxed. And
they'll all be in their kit. There'll be about 40 of them in their kit, because obviously they're going to have the big celebration afterwards. So they can all turn up. John Terry definitely will be in his kit.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, I mean, he has been playing for much of the season, so he will actually.
Don't spoil it for him.
Sorry. But yes. They won't want to lose that game.
No, they won't.
Because it's going to be the big party game, and they're going to be lifting the trophy at the end of it. And they don't want to do that on a downer. Yeah. And losing at home is a downer. But I guess you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been in the past that's happened, hasn't it?
Yeah,
West Ham stayed up that one year, didn't they? Old Trafford.
And all that. Yep.
You know, that's because United really hadn't bothered. And so
Could happen.
It could happen.
It could happen. Mm. But we did hurt them last season. We beat them 2-1 at their place on the run-in. On our famous great escape, which I don't think we're going to replicate this season. That's my squeaky bum. But there's a few others down there, because Leicester are
resurgent. Oh, resurgent, that's the term we're using for them at the moment. Hull look a bit weak at the moment, don't they?
Yeah, they've got a horrible running. I think Hull are... Yeah.
Right, so who do you think's going down then? If Sunderland are staying up, if they perform another miracle of staying up, who's going down?
Well, I think Sunderland are going to go down. But excluding the... Yeah, I think Sunderland are going to go down.
Okay.
I think Hull will, and I... I don't think Leicester's got enough in the tank, but then, you know, they're doing what Sunderland did last season, so probably Burnley.
Burnley?
Not QPR?
Well,
where are QPR?
QPR are still in the bottom three at the moment.
Yeah. I'm banking on QPR.
But I think, I've got it to, for my three to work, then someone's got to drop into them, so
yeah.
I think QPR might jump out of it.
Okay.
So they're actually going to be displaced rather than actually climb their way out.
That's how they stayed up last time, isn't it?
Yeah. To be fair,
they managed to find three teams worse than them somehow. I think Hull have that kind of morose look of a team that's given up.
Mm.
And I have to say, I think also the same of Sunderland as well, I'm afraid to say.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for QPR as well. Largely because I hate them. I want them to be relegated. Yeah.
You've been intimating this for weeks, haven't you, on this pod, haven't you?
Like, I don't like QPR. And I don't like the way they go about things.
Yeah.
I like their manager. I like it, but I would be quite pleased if they stayed up because of him. But I think that it would be for the best all round if QPR were relegated. They could then perhaps take a look at themselves.
Yeah,
there's a club who's been spoilt by too much money.
Well, having too much money, I don't really have a problem with clubs that spend a lot of money. I mean, I'm all across the whole, you know, supporter ownership, but I don't really have a problem with a single sort of like entity coming in and spending lots and lots of money on a club. But do think that you have to spend your money wisely, and I don't think QPR have done that.
Mm.
They gave a lot of money to Harry Redknapp, who's spent an awful lot of that guy's money, and they're now paying the price, I think. I mean, with the money that they had, they could have done something really interesting, and instead they've been, generally speaking, terrible. So I would argue that, you know, from a neutral point of view, I think that it would be a good thing if they went down. Apologies to any QPR fans out there, but, you know, let's be honest.
Could be a disaster for them if they go down because of their owner. Is he called Fernandez?
Yes.
He owns AirAsia, suffered of late.
A terrible tragedy. Yeah.
So, it could well be that, you know, his mind is justifiably so elsewhere.
Yes.
And that if they go down, that he kind of goes, well, you know, I've got other things to concentrate on.
Well, I mean, the truth is he does have other things to concentrate on.
Yeah, yeah. He has a lot of fish to fry.
An awful plane crash, a terrible tragedy.
Yeah.
And I mean, something like that will change a man. And yes, he may well. But maybe in the longer term, that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. Perhaps his influence hasn't been as beneficial as it could have been.
Mm.
They have had some good times while he's been owning the club, but it's been a bit of a... It's been a bit of a weird situation. He also owned the Caterham team as well, Formula One team.
Mm.
And, they didn't do very well either.
Mm.
So maybe what his issue is that he's had too many things on the go. Maybe it's had an effect, I don't know. But I certainly think that I don't think too many people would shed too many tears if Queen's Park Rangers were relegated, apart from QPR fans. But, they'll live.
I think QPR are going down too. I also think... I think Leicester are going to escape. I think they're looking that good at... And the thing is, they've not had a bad season anyway.
Mm.
They've lost... All right, they did lose a lot of games, and that's why they're there. But... And they haven't really been turned over by anyone this season, and I think that was a worrying sign up until this recent good patch that they've been on. But I think this good patch is more a case of well, this is the team they were trying to be all season, and it's actually coming off for them.
Yeah, they have been consistent, Leicester, in the way that they've played, and they've been unlucky. They've also been poor, yes, and poor.
But they have had some good results.
They started quite well, didn't they?
And they've been. I mean, they played us. And we robbed them twice. Yeah. Frankly, we robbed them twice, and they've just been really, really unlucky. And also, I mean, we all want to be watching when Nigel Pearson has his middle-aged meltdown. I mean,
I think it's happening. I think it's just happening at a glacial pace.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we should be careful what we say because
he'll be
able to take care of himself, as we all know. But you definitely want to see that on the touchline. You definitely want to see that on the touchline. It's great for business.
See him lose it.
Yeah. Yeah. In his really menacing way.
Mm.
Yeah.
So great. All right. So I wouldn't be surprised if QPR go down. I wouldn't be surprised if Hull go down. Which leaves one more club, and I think it's going to be a toss up between Burnley and Sunderland, and I think it's going to be Burnley.
Burnley, eh?
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it would be a shame for Burnley to be relegated
because I think
that they've done some fine work, and again, you know, I like their coach as well.
Yeah.
But I like a lot of the coaches down there. So
yeah. Yeah, mind you, there are some decent coaches waiting to come up, aren't there?
They surely are.
And it's a really, really, really tight race at the top of the championship at the moment.
Yeah, four-way.
Yeah, who are those four teams do you think is actually going to win the title to begin with?
I think it's so wide open. Borough beats Norwich on Friday night.
Yeah, that was a good game.
And then Bournemouth were denied in the 95th minute by Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, by a penalty, wasn't it?
Yeah, a penalty in the 95th. So they must have been feeling pretty robbed. So I think it's wide open there.
Yeah, because Watford are Watford top at the moment?
I think they are.
I think they
swap places, though, don't they?
Oh, yeah, but they
each match day because they're so little.
There's only two points between the top four at the moment.
That's right.
And one of those four teams is going to be at least one of those four teams is going to be disappointed, aren't they?
Surely are. Yeah.
It's going to be a real shame that they've gone that far. Yeah. To then drop out.
That Borough Norwich game was a bit of a surprise because Norwich have been on a real roll just coming into it, and they're the sort of team you're looking at and think, well, you've just hit form at just the right time for going up. So even if you only scrape a playoff place, you've got to have people backing you to go through there. And Borough were looking a bit wobbly, I think, for a couple of results. I know you probably hear more about Borough because of Martin and Dave, the two guys we go to football with, who are Borough fans, and how are they feeling at the moment?
Well, they're loving it. Martin's, I think he's pretty confident they're going to do it.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's just the good results just keep on coming for him. And the coach they've got there, he's brought in a lot of Spanish talent. Mm-hmm. And they're playing some really, really great football. So I think, the word on the street in Borough is that they're going up.
Yeah.
Mind you, it's pretty tough. But I guess probably the big romantic story would be Bournemouth if they were to be promoted.
I'd like to see them go up, actually.
They've got some backing, but they don't have the kind of backing that would necessarily get them into the top two just by money alone.
Yeah.
Eddie Howe has done an amazing job there right from the off because he was there and he's always had success with them. He did leave to go to Burnley for a short while, but then he came back very, very shortly after he left. And has taken them on. And, I understand that they are... They're tremendous fun to watch. It's a tiny, tiny football club, really.
Yeah.
It would easily be the smallest football club to play in the Premier League. It would just be really good to see what they do.
It's 15,000, I
would imagine,
I think.
I don't know, actually, off the top of my head, but I can only think that Barnsley would be the
smallest. Barnsley or Oldham would probably be the smallest Premier League clubs ever, I suppose, would they?
Yeah. Oldham, of course, comes from a time when small clubs could relatively easily get promoted to the top flight.
Yeah.
And they are founder members of the Premier League.
Yeah.
So in terms of the sort of modern Premier League, it is rare to see such small clubs make such an impact.
No, it will be a fantastic achievement, considering that the club, has skirted with non-existence.
Plenty of times. That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's good to see them having got things together, and it's amazing to think that there could be a little mini hotbed, sort of like in what is generally speaking not necessarily a football mad town. Bournemouth is.
Yeah,
Bournemouth is. Yeah. Mad in many, many ways, but not necessarily about football.
And of course with. Because I think Derby and Brentford are still in the playoffs as well.
Yeah.
So you're going to have, not only are you going to have got a really good title run and automatic spot run, but as well you're going to have four really strong teams going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're really going to be able to call them, really. But
I really hope Derby go up.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I just got a soft spot for Steve McLaren.
Well, apparently so does Mike Ashley.
Oh.
Word on the street, he's going to Newcastle.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
My God, Huggy Bear, they're coming in here, giving us the word on the street.
That is the word on the street. That's two words on the street that you just laid down.
I down with the kids, man.
You certainly is.
Yeah, you're going to say, you didn't hear it from me, though.
Well, I would,
you have to slip a 20 into his top pocket.
Later. It won't be a 20.
It won't be money.
Well, not currency, anyway. I really don't want that to happen. I really don't want that to happen because I do think that Mike Ashley needs to leave football. And I just don't want him to employ, I like Steve McLaren, but he makes terrible career choices. And I just, he's got a good club there, so he should get them promoted and he should stay with them. And I think that would be, it would be terrible.
He doesn't make terrible career choices. He makes nearly brilliant career choices, but they're so nearly brilliant They're terrible.
Well, yes. I mean, I guess he likes to live on the edge, shall we say. I mean, he took the England job because he was the assistant coach and he applied. And they couldn't get Big Phil, so they went for him instead.
Second choice, Steve.
He went, after that, he made an excellent choice in going for the Twente job, but that was still a big gamble.
Yeah.
It paid off.
Yeah.
He then went to Wolfsburg, and that was a disaster.
Yeah. We saw him, didn't we, when he was at
Yes,
Wolfsburg.
We did, and yes. We gave him some verbal abuse while
we did.
Because you have to do that. You have to abuse the former England coach. It's the right of every free-born Englishman to a breeze of...
Much to the amusement of the surrounding
of the locals, he did.
They loved it.
They loved it, yeah.
A few beard-up Brits are like, slagging off the opposition coach. Yeah, why not? They loved that.
Yeah. Who wouldn't enjoy hearing something like that? You can actually, if you go back through the archives, there's you will find there was a podcast recorded for that Germany trip.
There was, yeah.
You, Graham, Chris Oakley, and Gary Andrews.
I don't know what the tag
go through
be
the
on
archives.
Then,
so, yeah,
yeah, it'll be yellow.
And you'll find it there somewhere. Fantastic, quick memories. Yeah, and then of course Nottingham Forest, which was just foolishness as well. Yes. That was a disaster. So, but I like him, and I thought he was treated terribly as when he was England coach. And I want him to be successful. And I think it's about time Derby were back in the Premier League because you know they're Derby.
Yeah, and as kids, they were up there all the time, weren't they? They even won championships.
They've even
like
won
that.
Championship, yeah. And stuff.
And
yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah. So they should totally be there. I know I'm a bit ambivalent about Watford, as everybody would be about stuff that's in that sort of nether region-y bit between London and whatever is after London.
Whatever lies there.
Whatever goes on after London.
Luckily, we have our Sherpa to tell us what goes on after Watford.
It's cold and it's hard. And it's,
I do understand that it's grim.
It's horrible.
So we've got great excitement coming up in the Championship anyway, but that's going to finish in a couple of weeks while the Premier League just rolls on and on and on and on. It goes on for another 3 weeks after the Championship.
How
done.
Tedious!
Yes,
really?
Yeah, it does.
Are they still doing that god awful thing where they play? They play on the same day as the FA Cup final?
No, this year they're not, because the Cup final is, like, you know, in
the
middle of July.
They move the Cup final to a Tuesday night or something.
It's the 30th of May.
30th of May.
30th of
wow.
May.
Wow. It's the same day as the German Cup final.
Yeah, it is sort of like, it's high summer. It is, you know, they're going to have a break for tea during it. It is very, very
warm to be playing.
I think
during that time of year.
I think that's a good thing because I think it highlights the utter absurdity of the Premier League calendar.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh no, everyone has to wait for us. I mean, there's this whole thing about the FA Cup and the Premier League, which finishes last.
Yeah.
The FA Cup should be the final game of the English top flight season.
Yes. It should be the final.
So they've probably gone, look, to hell with you, we're going to go. And you know, they're doing it on the same day as the German Cup final. So for TV viewers who have got access to BT Sport, it's going to be a fine day because you'll get to watch the FA Cup final and then you can watch the DFB Pokal shortly thereafter.
Oh, really? What time's kickoff?
7:30 kickoff.
7:30 kickoff.
Oh, we should do some kind of barbecue and beer.
That's just tonight. Crazy enough to work, that idea.
Yes.
Let's do that.
I will actually be in Berlin.
Yeah, he'll be in Berlin. But you guys can totally do it. Maybe a lucky listener can join us.
Maybe. No. No.
I was thinking about Wayne, but...
Only Wayne.
And he's the only listener, so... And yeah, so the Champions League Cup, the Champions League final is a week after, 6th of June.
6th of June.
6th of June. The longest day, you know, D-Day. It's there. It's...
June. Football doesn't happen in June.
Do you know what? No, yes, it does. Because do you know what happens as well in June? The first qualifying round of the Champions League is it the 30th of June?
Mm-hmm. It just doesn't stop.
There's 24 days between the semi-final, second leg, and the final. And then there's another 24 days between the final and the first qualifying round of the Champions League. It never stops.
That's a peculiar one, that is. It's a really peculiar one how they've done that. I mean, essentially, because they couldn't have done it simply because of the German Cup final. Because the German Cup final would have moved ahead a week. They would have just done that.
Mm.
But no, they've done it for the 6th of June. Because the German Cup final is in Berlin, and the European Cup final, as we
maybe,
know, is
maybe
also in Berlin.
They're doing it because they're, right, okay, get all your football done by the end of May, get it all down there by then, because nothing follows us, except more Champions League.
Except more Champions League, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, Europa League kicks off at the same time as well.
But apparently, I don't know if there's any shenanigans going to be involved about this. But the games are so late that the FA Cup final, if FIFA won't want to be particularly arsy about it, any South American players could be pulled from the Cup final for Copa America duty.
Is it Copa America this year?
Yes.
Oh, jig. I didn't realise that. Oh, dance's jig. I'm not doing an actual dance of a jig.
But that means Alexis Sanchez could, because the cut-off date is the 29th of May, Alexis Sanchez could miss the cup final.
You know.
Because, you know, if Chile weren't decided. And, of course, David Ospina as well. And and Gabriel as well could be missing for Arsenal. So.
And possibly some Aston Villa players that we don't know.
I don't know about them. So yeah. they might have.
How are you feeling about the draw for the final? Good draw?
I guess so. I did think that if Liverpool had got to the final, we'd have had them. on Stevie G's birthday, we'd definitely had them.
But, shat on his kick.
Yeah, oh God, yeah.
But I don't know, there's a certain momentum about Tim Sherwood, isn't there?
He's undeniable, isn't he? I don't know what he'll be wearing. It'll be end of May, so like his gilet won't be needed, will it? So
probably
a summer's gilet.
Is there a summer gilet?
I don't know why you're asking me.
Well, you seem like the kind of COVID guy.
I know what he will be wearing.
I'll take your silence as acknowledgement that you are.
I know what he will be wearing.
What, yeah.
Silent Menace.
Yeah? Yeah, do you think so?
Yeah. There's something scary about
I don't know. I think he's going to go full-on 70s grandstand cup final special, I think. I think he's going to arrive in a helicopter like Brighton did.
I sincerely hope so.
Yeah.
I hope they do a song as well. Because it's been a long time since we've had a song.
Oh man, a long time.
Do they still do cup finals?
The MP3 generation's got rid of that, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, cup finals. That's a bit of a tragedy, really.
It is. It's not. It is.
Tim Sherwood and Christian Benteke. You know,
oh, that'd be good.
That'll be awesome in the studio.
Tim Sherwood. Try and keep him out of a recording studio. He's desperate for it, isn't he? Yeah.
He could do the Villa Park rap or whatever they would call it.
That would be awesome. But it's interesting because I mean, when we last discussed Villa on the podcast, we had Chris Nee with us.
We did,
and it was all doom and gloom. And when Tim Sherwood was given the job, many people felt that, you know, this was perhaps a somewhat desperate act and were unconvinced by his credentials. But we have not been talking about Aston Villa in our discussions on the relegation struggle. We've only started talking about them on the FA Cup, perhaps suggests that, you know, they're going to be. I mean, they've got a lot of work to do to stay up. But you know, I think we all believe they're going to stay up.
I think
that certainly there's a good chance that they could even win the cup.
Dun, 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 dun.
They won't qualify for the Europa League if they don't win.
Those rules have changed.
UEFA have changed the rules. Which is sad for them, but
yeah.
I don't know, maybe he actually isn't that sad.
Yeah,
do they really want that?
They sneak through a couple of different rules, like the one that now teams can have five teams in the contest now as well.
Yeah.
So if an English team. If won the Europa League, there would be five teams in the competition.
That's right. They've made the Europa League obviously a qualifying into the group stages, which is very that's a bold move.
It is. Yeah,
that's quite an incentive. And you know, unsurprisingly, the Italian teams seem to now be taking the Europa League really seriously.
Yeah,
it's exciting times.
Exciting times.
It's always exciting times.
It is.
Football, isn't it?
And it is, especially when it comes to the end of April. When things get really, really exciting. Mm. Well, we've got ourselves excited about the whole thing, haven't we? Mm.
I'm visibly excited. Don't look down.
I won't. And on that rather proud moment, I think it's probably time to bring this podcast to a close.
We are all standing after all.
Yes, we are indeed. Stay with us because there'll be some more Top Trumps after the music. But from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Milton and from Terry Film, it's goodbye.
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 You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Welcome to another exciting instalment of Sound of Football Top Trumps. If you remember last time, you'll know that Terry won back control of the deck. Yes, unfortunately, our card wasn't good enough. But Terry's got a rather vexed look on his face.
Yeah.
I think you're torn, aren't you?
I am torn.
You're torn. Who have you got?
I've got Wesley Schneider.
Wesley Schneider.
Fine player.
Fine player. Yeah.
And he's got an impressive array of starts as well.
Has he?
Stats.
Yeah, not height though.
Not height. Height not being one of them.
No.
Those shortest wins.
No. Unfortunately, you know, if you're short and you're old, this pack doesn't want to know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Note to Top Trumps: if you do finally pick this up on social media that we've been doing this for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Shortism and heightism and ageism.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress.
Anyway.
I am going to go, I'm torn between trophies and career goals.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a difficult one to draw. So I'm just going to bite the bullet and go career goals of 109.
Oh, now that is a very low figure for this pack. It is a very low figure. But Jan, who have you got?
Well, it is a low figure, but luckily
for
you, it's Philip Lahm.
Philip Lahm
with 18.
You would have won on trophies anyway.
I might have been one height. No, it would have been a dead heat on height.
A dead heat between the lollipop guild there of Philip Lahm and Wesley Schneider.
Philip Lahm and Wesley Schneider. Hello, Philip, would you like an ice cream? Yes, thank you very much, please. I love an ice cream.
Yes, and that's the sound of Terry after being on the hippie crack. Join us again next time for some more Sound of Football Top Trumps.
Hello, Philip, would you like an ice cream? Yes, thank you very much, please. I love an ice cream.